Okay. Perek Yud. Last week we started Perek Yud and we got to not very far. And I want to even go back a little bit. It's a few lines into Perek Yud. It starts from Ubira Inyan. Ubira Inyan. At this point at the Sefer, we're coming to give a definition of what a tzaddik is. How the Rebbe explains what a real tzaddik is. And it's a very, very high madriga. Last week, you know, even though there's such a high belief in his tzidkus, and the tzidkus that he has, and he has to strive and believe in himself that he could also become a tzaddik, and he has to strive for that and aim towards that. That's what we spoke about last week. Here, he's going to talk about the real madriga of tzaddikim, and there's two madrigas. Four, by the way, this shir is for Shlema, for Yenta, Fego, Bas Yita. Shem for Shlema, Metzashem. So there's two different tzaddikim. I'll give it outside, and then we'll go inside. Two different types of tzaddikim. There's a tzaddik gomor, tzaddik with a complete tzaddik, and a tzaddik she'ena gomor, tzaddik who's not a complete tzaddik. And the difference between them is how they relate to ra, how they relate to evil inside of themselves. And really by both of them, the truth is that there really is not very much ra at all, and one, there's no ra at all. A tzaddik gomor means that there's no ra inside of him at all. In fact, he changes, he turns over the left side of his heart, is the way that he brings it. He turns it over and makes it that even his evil side, even his Yedid Zahara, also desires Hashem. He doesn't turn over his heart, but he doesn't have any desire for the stake, he doesn't have any desire for any type of taiva. So a tzaddik gomor, his desire will always be rakus, only for godly things, only for ruchness. Masha'inkin a tzaddik she'eno gomor, there might be a stake, but he'll never ever desire the stake. But it's his full, pure desire, only a rakus. That's the difference between a tzaddik gomor and a tzaddik she'eno gomor. Tzaddik gomor, his sole desire is only ruchness. A tzaddik she'eno gomor, his desire, there's a part of his heart which you could say might desire this world, even though it's completely non-existent, it's not even there. So he won't even have desire for the stake, but it hasn't been completely removed, because if it would have been completely removed, the evil on the left side of his heart, then it would be only pure desire for ruchnias, only pure desire for spirituality, for Hashem. That's the difference between the two. He's going to explain now how does the tzaddik gomor become a tzaddik gomor? And what is the difference? So the difference, we see the difference in action. This one purely only desires ruchnias, and this one won't desire any physical world, but you can't say it's pure, full desire is only elikus. So how did this change over? How did he become from a tzaddik she'eno gomor to a tzaddik gomor? So this is what he's going to explain now. And the basic idea is going to be that the love for Hashem and evil and desires for this world are the biggest stira, the biggest conflict. There's no bigger contradiction in the whole entire world. The biggest stira in the world is between the love of Hashem and the love for the physical world. Based on how much love you have for Hashem, that's how much you'll come to hate the titles of this world and the physical aspects of this world. So the difference between a tzaddik gomor and a tzaddik she'eno gomor is basically how much love he has for Hashem. A tzaddik gomor, his love for Hashem is at the max. It's huge. It's a huge love. A she'enkin, a tzaddik she'eno gomor, his love isn't at its max. The way he has a huge love still. He's a tzaddik, he has a huge love. But it's not at the highest spitz level, like it is by a tzaddik gomor, that therefore his heart completely turns over to only loving Hashem. Any questions on that? Okay, so we're going to see that now inside. So the words start ubira in it. And this one is going to be yudalot amud beis on the bottom. Ubira inyan. We're going to explain now what is exactly a tzaddik she'eno gomor. He come a tzaddik she'eno gomor, not a tzaddik gomor. Ki ine, tzaddik gomor, she'nahabek hara she'loi l'toiv. A tzaddik gomor is somebody that turns over his ra to toiv for good, meaning that he had no more ra. His ra is completely flipped over to just being towards tov. V'chein nikra tzaddik v'toiv loy. Therefore, he is called a tzaddik v'toivla. Why is he called a tzaddik v'toivla? Because he's v'toivla, meaning it's only tov by him. His whole world is only tov. Therefore, he's called a tzaddik v'toivla. In the beginning, we said there's a tzaddik, which is tovla, and a tzaddik v'ra'la. Tzaddik v'toivla, what is the difference between the two of them? That's what we're coming to answer. Tzaddik v'toivla is, his life is pure tov. No connection to ra. That's because he completely removes like the filthy clothing that he's wearing. What are these filthy clothing that he removes? That he completely removes, he despises completely. It's a lot of despise. He despises tremendously the pleasures for the physical world. Why? Why does he hate them so much? Because where do they stem from, the physical things of this world? They come from the Ra, they come from the Yitzhahara, they come from the Sitra Achra. And a tzaddik hates that completely. He despises that. Anything that comes from the Sitra Achra, a tzaddik gomor who's soinu betachlis asina. The tzaddik gomor hates it to the max. He hates it to the max. There's no room for it by him. Why? Because of his deep love that he has for Hashem. Because of his great, great, deep, deep love that he has for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mamela, like he's going to explain right now, it's going to be that he's going to hate this physical world so much he's going to despise it. He's going to despise the physical world. Because they are zedul mazel of each other. They are on the opposite ends of each other, the physical world and the love for Hashem. Kedeksiv, tachlis sinna sinisim lo'evim ayoli. The first one pasuk says that the tachlis of sinna, the max of hatred to my oyvim, to my enemies, the hainu deitzah harav, that's what I have, said David Melech. And then the next pasuk says, chakreini bedel levavi, get to know my heart, search and get to know my heart, meaning get to see the love of my heart, what's inside of my heart. The love and desire I have for my heart. So you see that these two things, they contrast each other. There's the hatred, but then there's the deep love. The deep love, when the deeper the love is, the more and more the hatred is towards the Sitra Achra, towards the Ra of this world. Here's the line. How much the great, how great the love is for Hashem. So too it is the value, the level of hatred you have towards the Sitra Achra. Ki amiyas hu hepech ha'ava mamash kama sinna. Because miyas, despise, is the exact opposite of love. So if you love something, you go to the opposite side towards a thing which you don't love, which is Sitra Achra, which is Ra. So tzaddik gomor is one who has this at the shpitz. His love is at the highest level. That's called a tzaddik gomor. His love towards Elokus is so great that his despise for the physical world is also so great. Is that clear? Clear?
What about
So, that's already Ruchnis.
It's transformed.
On Shabbos, so everything is transformed.
So the taste of the buster, like, is like...
Different world. You're the food that you eat on Shabbos and the food you eat during the week is a different type of food. It's not the same food
it's
at
like
all.
Mon.
It is like mon. Very similar. You can very much play around with it. The food of Shabbos is pure tov. Pure tov.
So he's brought midwar.
Huh?
The tzaddik gomor is brought midwar.
Everybody on Shabbos becomes like a certain level of a tzaddik gomor.
Right.
Yeah, not much like that. There's a certain level of it. I almost dedicated this shir to explaining how that works. I decided not to, but maybe afterwards we'll maybe afterwards we can talk about it. We're on Tezvav Amud Aleph, and we're up to where we were up to last week. So that's the Tzadik Gomor. The Tzadik Gomor is somebody who hates Ra completely. He has the tachlis of sinah towards Ra. That's right, Mamas. No, that's a good point. We're on Tezvav Amud Aleph. We're up to like where we were up to last week. So a Tzadik Gomor is a person who hates the Ra completely. Why? Because his love for Hashem is at its max, at its peak. That's a Tzadik Gomor. So now that we understand what a Tzadik Gomor is, he's somebody who loves Hashem to the max, and therefore there's no room in his heart for Ra. Now we have to understand what a Tzadik Gomor is. So a Tzadik She'eino Gomor, who She'eino Sonei Sitra Achra B'Takla Tzina, he's somebody who doesn't hate Ra to the max. He doesn't hate Ra to the max. Therefore, his despise, how much he despises Ra, is also not in its max. And if the Ra, if the sinna and the despise towards Ra is not at its max, therefore, there's going to be a little room in his heart for a connection towards it. A connection towards it. He'll be connected to the desires of the physical world a little bit. Why? Because the Ra in his heart hasn't been completely removed. Again, we have to emphasize we're talking about a Tzadik She'eino Gomor over here. So a Tzadik She'eino Gomor, he has really no taiva towards Ra. But the only reason why there's a drop in the bucket of Ra in his heart, a desire to something in this world, would only be because his love for Hashem is not also at its peak yet. He hasn't completely yet removed this filthy garments, the tithes to this world completely. Therefore, it cannot yet be transferred over to Toiv, his heart. The left side of his heart is not yet Kula Toiv. Since he has a little bit of an achiza, since he has a little bit of a connection to the tithes of this world, which is called Begodim Hatzoyim, as you bottle the Mi'utai Bekaloi Choshev. So these taivas are batal. It's kamat not there. It's kamat not there. It's batal. It's if it's nullified to a robe that's there. The robe that he has is completely, completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and complete love to Hashem. There's a little drop of connection to this world, but it's if it's not there. Why? Because it's completely taken over by the riboy of how much love he has. But it's not completely gone. It's there, but it's batal. Klar? It's there, but it's batal. A Tzadik Gomor, it's not even there. It's completely gone. And therefore, since it's completely gone, it's turned over to only being a taiva towards to Hashem. Chenikrat Tzadik v'ra v'kaf of a batal. It's not a Tzadik and his ra towards him. It's not a hashkacha thing. It's how much he relates to ra. I mean, the ra is completely kaf of, it's batal to him. The ra in his world is almost non-existent. It's almost non-existent. Therefore, his love for Hashem must also not be in its complete state. Because if his love for Hashem would be in its complete state, then what would happen? Connection towards the wall would completely turn over to also be tarif. That's between a Tzadik Gomor and a Tzadik She'eino Gomor. So again, a Tzadik Gomor is a person whose love for Hashem is complete. That's a Tzadik Gomor. And Mamela, his hatred towards this world is also complete. And the Mela, his heart therefore turns over, the left side of his heart turns over to also only loving Hashem.
When we say hatred towards his world, is that
he'll only eat that steak because it's ruchnias. If he decides appropriate to eat that steak. He doesn't even look at that steak mitzad his tithe towards it. That steak is completely, completely ruchnias steak.
Does he have to hate it or just have to be indifferent?
He hates the physical part of it. But he understands, see, food is a big, big, big concept. I also almost talked about that this week. I was going back and forth. But food is every part of food has a ruchnias part of it. The Rizal says, Lo alechem levado yechi adam, ki hakol moitzi pi Hashem yechi adam. Not on the food alone does the person live, but on the moiti pi Hashem, there's like a pi Hashem, like the mouth of Hashem that's behind every food. And he explains that the philosophers, they ask, how could it be that food gives a person life? Hare, a person is an neshama and he's a guf. To live, you need both those two things keeping together. So what gain does the neshama get from this food? That should keep it to be a part of the guf, the Rizal asks. So the Rizal answers that every food has two parts to it. There's the physical part of the food, which nourishes our guf, but then there's the spiritual part of the food, which nourishes our neshama. The tzaddik, all he wants to eat is the spiritual part of that food. He needs to eat it to keep himself alive, also his body, but what he's really looking for is the spiritual part of the food, and that's really what he wants. And that's his only taiva in that food.
So my question is, to move towards the Torah, do we have to hate the world or just be indifferent to the world?
He despises it. He hates it. He despises the Ra. But he turns it over and makes it tithe. That's his chiddush. I mean, you could want that steak. You could want the steak. But the tzaddik doesn't want the steak because he wants the steak. A tzaddik probably won't even eat steak. But a tzaddik, he wants that steak. We say you want a steak, but
it's not going to go in because he's turned it over.
He turned it over completely. He doesn't, meaning he doesn't even look at that food as being a taiva. He looks at that food as only being means to either just stay alive, or to actually tap into the spiritual part of that food.
Isn't that in and of itself having a kesher to Olmalu?
We need to stay alive.
I know, but at the end of the day, that's Olmalu to go
out. No. It's not, because he purely wants to just serve Hashem. He has no taiva. I mean, he has no connection towards it. It's the pull. It's the taiva towards it. Does he have that taiva? Absolutely not. There's no taiva towards it. He's completely separate from it. I have to eat it to stay alive. What am I supposed to do? Nothing I can do. I have to stay alive. Hashem wants me in this world. It's the Rosh Hashem to be in this world and to eat food. Or else he wouldn't have given it to me. But do I desire it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And more than that, my only desire is only the ruchnis of it. That's the topic of more. Therefore, a tzaddik gomor, though, is a person, a tzaddik, who the love that he has for Hashem is not at its full max like a tzaddik gomor. Made of the hatred towards the physical world is not in its fullest, and therefore the left side of his heart hasn't yet been turned over. This bittul that the tzaddik she'eino gomor has to ra, and he makes the ra like nullified, there's many, many different levels of this. Many different levels of it. Every level, kafi, one of these arbi sodos, which we spoke about at length already before, I'm not going to explain them right now, will be inyan b'tilu'u b'tula b'me'uta b'shishim adarek mashal or b'elev u'rova kiyote adarek mashal. Or, and there's many different levels of bittul. There's a bittul we have in halacha of echad b'shishim, or echad b'elev, or echad b'matayim, by Trumas, Echad B'Matayim. So you see there's different levels of bittul. Kafi, how much there is in the quantity that's there, so whatever the miyut would be, the smaller amount will be as if it's not there. Right? Like a little drop of milk inside of a chalon pot. We don't look at it as being there. If it's bittul b'shishim, I believe. So Mamela, that's how he views Ra in his life. The Ra that's inside of him is as if it's not there. It was in there, but it's if it's not there. But it's there enough that it hasn't yet its heart turned over. And throughout the generations, there are many, many different levels of these tzaddikim and how much the Ra is bottled by him. And these tzaddikim, she'enu gemurim, these are all the different tzaddikim that we have throughout all the generations. The Gemara says, 18,000 tzaddikim are Hashem. And those are all different tzaddikim, all different doyers, all different generations that follow. But this madrega, which is called the tzaddik gomor, who shama Rashbi, this is what Rashi Yochai said, re'iti b'nei aliyah ve'hem mu'atim. But the Rashbi said that by the tzaddik gomor, I saw many b'nei aliyah, aliyah is to be like lift something up, to raise something up, I saw many b'nei aliyah ve'hem mu'atim. There are very, very few b'nei aliyah. What does it mean the Bnei Aliyah? Shachin Kraim Bnei Aliyah. They're mala something. Zahinush Mahabhi Mahara Umalin Oiso the Kedusha. That's what it means, Bnei Aliyah. Bnei Aliyah are those tzaddikim gemurim which are mal of the ra, the evil in their heart, and make it completely tight. Like the Zohar says about Rabbi Chiya, he wanted to go into the Heichal, into the sanctuary, I guess you would call it, of Rishon Bar Yochai. And he wanted to be nichnas inside of there. So it says in the Zohar, Kesherot Rabbi Chiya la'alos the Heichal Rishon Bar Yochai, when he wanted to go into the chamber of Rishon Bar Yochai, Shama Kola Nafik, he heard a voice come out. He heard like a cruise, an announcement. Va'amar Mimin Choyin, who from you, Dichashoycha Mahapchin and Haira, who from you, who was mahapich their ra into toiv? Vitamina merila matika, and they tasted the change over from bitterness to sweetness, meaning from ra to toiv. Adlo yetzkun lechon. Before you come over here, you need to first turn over your heart completely, that your heart should be completely solely to toiv. That's what it means to Bnei Aliyah. Therefore, Rashbi said there's only a few Bnei Aliyah. And Rashbi lives in the world of Bnei Aliyah. And Mamedar of Chiyah, he couldn't come into this world of Rishon Bar Yochai until it was clear that he was a Bnei Aliyah, that he was a Tzadik Gomor, that he was Mahapich his heart. So just as a tikkun, before we get to the next level, what is a Tzadik Gomor, a Tzadik She'ena Gomor? A Tzadik Gomor is a person who takes his heart and turns it over and makes it completely toif because of his love and his completeness for Hashem. There's still a little bit of desire. There's no desire, but there's still a little bit of ra in his heart because his love is not in its completion yet. Klar? I plan to finish the parak this week, but then when I read the next part of the parak, I said it's too important to just skip over it. It's too sadistic, especially in Hasidus. So next week we'll continue the next part. So now I want to just develop a small sugya. Time is short already. See, we're talking about over here a tzaddik gomor. And we said that a tzaddik gomor is a person who takes the ra and is completely mevatel the ra. Meaning to say, and we're going to see soon that even a beinoni this is true about, that a beinoni, he even doesn't do any averus. A beinoni is a lower level than a tzaddik. He doesn't do any averus of enemy. No averus. So, Kol Shekein, a Tzadik Gomor, Tzadik She'ena Gomor, both of them, they don't do any averus. The Beinoni, the problem by him is that he still has connection to Ra, and he can still have a taiva, he just never actually goes towards it, which we'll see soon in Ritz Hashem, in Perigud Beis. But a Tzadik, he doesn't even have a connection towards it. And it's not the Gomor, forget about it. He's mahapik his whole world into completely just being tired. So the question is, we know that there's a concept called tshuva. Yom Kippur comes, what do we all do? Chet, al chet. And we're Ben Kodesh Baruch Hu to give us a kapara, an atonement for the chet that we did. So the question is going to be, what shaykhus does a tzadik Gomor have to the mitzvah of tshuva? What shaykhus do we have to tshuva? It's a mitzvah of the Torah. And he has a Yom Kippur also. So if he's a person who's completely separate from chait, so what shaykhus does he have to the tshuva? It's Bam Kasha, no? So I think I'm gonna try to develop a little bit of a mahalith, but really my whole premises to my Kasha was wrong. And it's a very interesting sugya. I'm excited about it. Really, already the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he already pointed this out. This is in the Kutei Sichos in Chelek Tes Parshas Zinu. He points this out, and he says that it must be that tshuva. I went everywhere looking for this. By the way, it wasn't like to find that Sicha was like. So the concept I'm fine. The Maisa. He says that it must be, remember, he stretches one of these nekudas, I don't know if he says the other nekudas, but it must be that tshuva doesn't actually have only a shaykhus to chet. And the raya would be, is that first of all, stam, how could you say that Hashem built a mitzvah that you have to do an aver first to get to that mitzvah? It would be a plea atzuma to say that. I'm going to do an aver, do the aver, why should I be able to come to have a mitzvah? Why? I mean, yeah.
That was true with Shlomo.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't set up a mitzvah to be able to go. We don't set up that you should do that. That it should be a process of I have to do an avera in order to be able to do this mitzvah. And but he proves a better point. I like this raya better. And that he proves because the Gemara says that there's seven things which preceded the world. Seven things preceded the world. And one of the things that preceded the world was tshuva. So the question is, what makom for chait was there before the world was created? Who was being chait already? Elamaya must be that there is before the Rebbe says there must be even before the world was created there was tshuva. It must be that there's something called tshuva that is not only shaykh to chait. So the question obviously is what is that? What is that tshuva? What is this tshuva of tzaddikim which is prior to the world? And he even asks his kasha. He says, "It's tzaddik gomel. What shaykh does he have to chait?"
It's a nasul
b'dinam. I mean, this is before even that.
Yeah, but
something
born today was a tzaddik today.
Tshuva
creates a das.
So there's a truth to that, but and this
and
is gonna, there's a truth to that. In Perek Lamed Zayin, he explains it to Tanya, and you could answer that based on what he says on Lamed Zayin. This is going to be more showing you how that answers that. That's what I'm going to try to do. Okay, it's a good point. You could also look at it in that tzicha. I think he talked about it over there also. So, the question is, what is the tshuva which is shaykh to a tzaddik? What does it mean tshuva by him? So, I forgot my name. So, it goes like this. The Nomi the Melech has a beautiful Torah in Parshas Vayera. In Parshas Vayera, it says, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu, who Yoshev Pesach HaAyok HaChom HaYom, and he was sitting at the front of the tent at the heat of the day. Excuse me. Noam Melech says, I'm going to elaborate a little bit. I mean, Avraham Avinu, he just got his bris milah, and now he's getting his bris milah. V'yayir lo Hashem, and Hashem appears to him. He's having these huge, huge giluim, these huge, huge hasagas. But after all the great hasagas that Avraham Avinu is having, the pasuk says that he's yoshev the pesach of the oil. What does it mean that he's yoshev pesach of the oil? That Avraham Avinu always felt that he was sitting at the Pesach of Avodas Hashem. That he never actually entered in to Avodas Hashem. He always felt like he was sitting in the Pesach. He always was sitting at the door. It's like a person who learns a sugya. He learns a Gemara, and he understands a Pashup Shabbat in the Gemara. Or he's around a really big person, and he feels that he started having a little bit of an understanding of this really big person. And the more that they get to know him, or the more that they ask a kasha on this Gemara, and then the Gemara starts to open up, they realize how much they never understood of this Gemara. Or they realize that the tzaddik that they're around, they never really started understanding him yet. So too it is with Hashem, and even farther more. The more that we have an understanding of Hashem, the more that we feel like we understand, the more we have to realize that we're just sitting at the Pesach. We're just still sitting at the door. That's the way that Ayid has to live his life. This is life that I'm having more and more and more asagas, but I'm more and more realizing that I'm just getting started. That's called the Huyoshe Pesach HaOyel. And this is really, you know, this is what a lot of times we hear that a person has to live a life of coming back to, you know, Amuna Pshuta. Amuna Pshuta and being a Pashut Yid, the way that people like to call it, comes after because since we have the more and more asagas we have, the more natural it feels that we feel like we're sitting at the Pesach again. That we're at the Haskalah again, that we're just starting again. That's what it means, Yoshe Pesach HaOyel. Maybe you could say, first of all, is that clear? The more asagas we have, the more we feel like we're going back to the beginning. Pashup Shad, because Hashem, we realize the end, more of the greatness of Hashem we realize and we connect to, the more we see that He's Ein Sof. Once you see that He's Ein Sof, the more you realize that you're just in the beginning because it's Ein Sof. Now, maybe you could say there's a machlok of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by Neres Chanukah. Getting into Chanukah a little bit. Beis Hillel says that Neres Chanukah, every single day you add another candle. You're Moisit V'Hoylich. One day's one, two, three, to eight. Beis Shammai says, no, the opposite. You start at eight, and you go down to one. Shammai says the exact opposite. So what's the Machlekes? Maybe you could say, a pipnimesh, what the Machlekes is, is, see, every single day of Hanukkah, the nesek increased. There was a greater nes that was taking place. First, there was the nes was one day that was already a big nes. 2 days? Whoa. 3 days? Whoa. 8th day? Wow. Right? 8 days of nesim, unbelievable. So every single day, what are you experiencing? You're experiencing a higher form of the nes. So Beis Hillel says, I'm going to look at the nes. I'm looking at it happening by the nes. The nes every single day is increasing. There's day one, there's day two, there's day three, and then there's day eight. So I'm going to light 8 candles. Every day I'm going to add a candle. Why? Because the hasaga that I have of the greatness of Hashem every day is increasing because of the miracle that's happening. Beis Shammai is saying, Ein hachanami. You're right that the greatness of Hashem is being revealed more. But what is that doing to me? The more of a hasaga that I have, the smaller that I start to feel, and the more that I feel like I'm going back to the beginning. So Ein hachanami, you're right. Every single day, it goes day one, day two, day three, and every single day the nes increases. But the more that I understand the Ribbono Shel Olam, the more that I see the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that causes me to feel like I am being poiches v'hoilech. I am getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So Mela, I start at 8, but then the nes increases and I go down to 1. That's Beis Shammai's pshat. So the machlek is, do I look at the gilui of the nes of elokus that's happening, or the effect that it has on me when I recognize that nes? Maybe that's the machlek of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, a little more alpi pinyus. Beis Shammai says, I come back to the original saga that I have. Is that clear so far? Any questions? Excellent. So with this, we'll bring it home. And we'll say maybe this is the pshat that of tzaddikim and the tshuva that tzaddikim have, the cause at least for the tshuva that tzaddikim have. See, what is tshuva? What is this feeling? Why do I want to do a tshuva? The reason why I want to do tshuva, let's say on a chet, is because what do I feel? I feel richuk. I feel distant. A richuk causes me to feel that I am distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. I feel I'm farther from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what a chet does to me. But I don't have to feel a chet to feel that I'm far away, that caused me to want to do a tshuva. Because every single time that I have a greater hasaga of Hashem, I feel now a richuk, a distance from Hashem, not because of my chet that I did, but because of my hasagas that I'm having of Hashem, makes me always feel like I'm going back to the Pesach again. On that richuk, there's nobody greater who has that richuk, who feels that second richuk, like a tzaddik does.
The higher you go, the more tshuva you have to do.
Exactly. The more, higher he goes, the more and more of a tshuva he has to do, that he feels Hashem, I'm just at the Pesach again. I'm just at the Pesach again, and I feel that richuk, and now that tshuva is, I have a big, deep, deep longing towards you, Ribbono Shel Olam. My longing for you is so deep, and that's the tshuva, that he feels that richuk, and he feels, I want to come back. That's tshuva. What does tshuva mean? Tshuva means, I am being tashuv to you. I am returning to you. Lachzor. That's what tshuva means. It can either be lachzor because I did it to myself because I did a chet, or it could be, I want to return to you because I keep climbing, I keep having more and more suddenly, but I keep coming farther at the same time. All I want to do is get closer and closer and closer and closer to you, Hashem. That's what it means by a tzaddik. That's the difference between a tzaddik and somebody who's not a tzaddik, and that's the difference between the tshuva. So Ein hachanami, the tshuva of tzaddikim isn't a tshuva because of the chet they did, and therefore because he's a tzaddik gomor, there's no chet. But it's a tshuva because I feel a rikul, because I'm always feeling like I'm back at the Pesach because of the sagas that I'm having in a Kaddish Baruch Hu.
By definition, the Lama said, you have to do tshuva because you're farther away.
Right. So the Rebbe says, the Babish Rebbe says on this, I'm going to bring this point, I think he says it over there. I saw a lot of my makos this week, so I don't know if he says this point or somebody else. But basically, when he does a tshuva, he's doing a tshuva because he is in this world. And when he does a tshuva, he's tapping into how he was for that time of the tshuva, for how he was before the world even came to existence. That's what he says. See, that's unique to tzaddikim. But all of us also have this madriga. See, all of us, we could do tshuva because of what we did wrong. But we also have longing for Hashem. We also have longing not because of what we did wrong, but because our true avid Hashem, and we get deeper and deeper into our avodas Hashem, we should start to feel more and more the greatness of Hashem. When we come to daven in the morning, we should want to do a tshuva, because why? Because I have a tshuka to connect you. not only does it do tshuva on every avera that we did. Okay, we do averas, you know, we're not tzaddikim, you know, it's part of life. But we regret them and we do tshuva, but we also do tshuva because we start to be makir how great you are, Hashem. And that makes me feel a longing towards you because I feel that I'm still standing and sitting at the Pesach of my avodah. So we should be zaycha to be able to do a tshuva on a deeper level, on a level which comes tzaddikim A, and B, do a tshuva of tzaddikim, a tshuva of longing, and to feel again a kir of Tzadkash Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem.
Oh, man.